Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston's home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We mentioned we had Mike Reese on yesterday. Mike Reese covers the Patriots and has been covering the Patriots 20-something years, he said, I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
he's been one of the big names that you know, I've always – there's certain guys that you just say, yep, this, and we're going to have one at 8. When is Brian Broaddus coming on? Okay, next segment, yeah. Brian Broaddus is one of those guys for the Dallas Cowboys that I have just a tremendous amount of respect for and trust. Mike, he's been on the football side before for the Cowboys, but Mike Reese is one of those guys with the Patriots. Albert Breer has been, but Reese is still embedded over there. So Mike Reese from ESPN joined us yesterday, and he was kind enough to join us, had some really great insight and on Nick Caserio and especially Gerard Mayo, and he talked about Mayo and what makes him such a good head coaching candidate.
Now, I want to tell you something Matthew said, because I think it's important, because he's been with Gerard from the start. He talked about, it's not just leadership. He talked about Gerard's intelligence, so he's smart. He talked about his emotional intelligence, which I think is like, okay, that's not going to light up the phone lines here on Sports Talk Radio, but it's such an important part of a dynamic job, like the job of head coach in the NFL. How do you relate to people? It's how do you relate to the owner? How do you relate to the youngest player on the roster? How do you relate to everyone in the building? Like, Gerard Mayo, A+ in that area. And that's not me saying it. This is people that have been around him from the beginning. So I think that would be one of the positive things going for him. I think, guys, the other part, though, is, like, for as big as this job is, like, he's only coached for 3 years. That's a big jump from where he is now to go into that main seat.
It is. That was, he was talking about Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater is who told him that, yeah.
Who was special teams guy that's been with the Patriots now. How long?
He's a special teams, like, Hall of Famer. He's been there since the beginning. As long as Mayo. Since, what, 08?
08.
He's still on the team.
Yeah. So, he's been there forever, and he knew that was the Matthew that he was referring to in that soundbite.
By the way, you know what? This is something I've heard more and more from leadership types, the phrase emotional intelligence. Do you know what that is? I had to get it defined yesterday.
Emotional?
I've heard it from, like, GM candidates and head coaches.
Emotional intelligence?
Emotional intelligence. He just made a comment
under
about
pressure?
Gerard Mayo's emotional intelligence.
Is that under pressure, how you handle pressure?
People with highly emotional intelligence can recognize their own emotions and those of others, use emotional information to guide thinking and behavior, discern between different feelings and label them appropriately, and adjust emotions to adapt to environment. This person said, it's a strength of mine. I have a good feel for people and when they are around. I don't know why, I just do. Emotional intelligence is the ability to make emotions work for you instead of against you, and it's essential quality of effective leaders. This is something that I've heard. This has been 2 years now that I've heard it a lot.
Is that an empath?
So Bill O'Brien, does he make his emotions work for him or against him?
Against him.
He doesn't have emotional intelligence. Tony Dungy would be a guy who does, right? I think Mike Tomlin is a guy who does. There are going to be some guys who are just a zero. Like, it's not, doesn't work against them, doesn't work for them. Those guys aren't the leadership types. But to have emotional intelligence, a deeper dive that I took really is about your ability to assess what someone needs at any given time, either a player or a staff member. Like, they need a pep, they need to, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, one of the things that he could do was he knew who he could ride and who he knew when to back off and have their back and stuff like that. Now, he wasn't. Now, people who worked with him said, I would sharply disagree. So maybe that was more with players.
I think that might have come from front office and his disdain for that authority.
Like, I'm not sure Daryl Morey has.
With players, he had that. He was an empath.
Yeah, that's empathy is some of it, but I think it's the ability to recognize your own emotional, like how to control and how to maneuver and manipulate what you need to. Not manipulate in a bad way.
And lead.
It's a leadership quality, yeah. And he talked about with Gerard Mayo, and that's when you hear that phrase, emotional intelligence, that's something that should be a trigger for you now. It was for me, and I wanted to get it redefined because I'd heard it in the past, and I wanted to get a true definition.
AI, it's EI.
Yeah, listen, AI is going to eventually murder and kill us all, but EI is good for football teams.
Right, right.
AI is for murdering humans
right.
with robots that can climb walls, do backflips, shoot guns, and give you facial expressions. Do you know that I get tagged on every robot video that comes out now? Multiple people. I get tagged on every lightning strike and every bit of lightning information and every robot is getting ready to take over the world stuff. I get tagged. I'm officially that guy that, you know who's got to see this robot showing emotion or snapping somebody's hand away when they touch him? Lance needs to see this. Right. You know who needs to see this? Where the robot, have you seen the latest one where it does facial features like?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's like Lance needs to see this. He won't even recognize it. You know what? If this is going to happen, and at some point, your dealers and blackjack will be robots. Humans won't have jobs there either. Everyone's going to be out of a job because robots will do it. People will look like you. You just need to go watch season one of Westworld. I don't want to subject you to any of the other ones. Season two was okay. Season three, terrible. I won't watch anything beyond it. But go watch season one of Westworld. Do you get a feeling of what robots could end up being like?
And hot robots.
I mean, it's not the worst idea in the world. Is it? Except the killing part. And they were really mean to the robots, too.
Yeah.
And no, people had snuff fantasies, yes. And they would take it out on robots. I mean, if we treated our robots kindly, maybe the robots would just do what we say.
They did bad stuff to them a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You paid a lot of money to come do bad stuff to robots. I'm like, well, I mean, you poke a dog a lot, and guess what's going to happen to you?
Get over it, robot.
That's also Arnold's fault for making that one code that lets one of them remember and control everything.
Yeah, stupid. Well, you mean Arnold the robot?
Yeah.
Of course.
Let's get Biscuit in here. You want to talk about David Culley? We say Biscuit.
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas.
How's it going, Biscuit?
I couldn't disagree. Hey, what's up, Lance? I couldn't disagree with you more on Culley, on the coaching deal. Because you, one of the things about coaches is, particularly nowadays, is does he have the ability to get the guys to play hard? You know what I mean? Because these guys, some of these guys, I could see putting Culley on, say, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver coach. You could do a lot worse than have an old guy like Culley be in the ear of somebody like Claypool and, hey, son, you need to do this and that. Because he seems, from all the guys you talk to, he seems to draw respect. And that's hard to do nowadays with these young guys. They don't respect older guys too much. And for him to have his team play hard throughout the season, all the way to the end, I mean, that goes a long way. And I think Culley, I doubt if he coach again, because, you know, at his age, he probably met the peak and he's probably going to walk off to the sunset. But if he wanted to, you could do a lot worse than having a coach like Culley on your staff who's not going to try to subvert your message. He's just going to go along, do what you ask him to do, and then he's going to be a common effect on some of these young guys and probably motivate them to do more than they might not necessarily do.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Now, that's all assistant coach stuff. We all agree there's no reason for him to be a head coach, but they wanted him to take his good guy – nice to people stuff, and they wanted a transitional. They just wanted a transitional puppet. There's nothing else. I don't think there's anything else to say about it.
Listen, I thought he was a fine. Actually, I thought give him another year. What's the difference? Because you're going to lose again here. Are you going to be able to attract a head coach this time? if you were going to do this, Nick Caserio, then do it all the way. I want a puppet. I want a guy that's going to that is just going to listen to what I do, to what I say, and then I'll get rid of him. Because now you're going to bring in a guy. Are you sure you're going to get the guy that you want here long term with the situation still where it is? Because he's going to lose 13, 14 games next year. Are you sure that right now, if you had another year with draft picks and you showed, all of a sudden you guys are starting to look like a decent football team, now that's a more attractive job.
You know what the nightmare is? If they would have kept David Culley another year and he gets to 8 wins and goes 8-9, but he wins 4 of his last 6.
Really? Because I saw a coach win 8 of his last 9 and got fired this year.
Yeah, but that was a totally different situation. That guy wouldn't even return the owner's calls.
Right.
This owner's like, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Well,
this is a little different.
This owner, I'm not sure, knows how to use the phone.
Yeah. It's a way, way different situation than Stephen Ross in Miami. I mean, one guy's a tyrant. One guy's the anti-tyrant. Well, we mentioned this yesterday. Whew, heard some not great stuff about Brian Flores. You did too, I think. Brian Flores, and it came up. But Brian Flores? Mm-hmm. Who, apparently, it went sideways in the building with Flores and the owner, Flores and the GM, Flores and the assistant coaches, Flores and the head coach, to the point that he was miserable in the building. And I'm like, oh my God, this sounds just like somebody we just had here not long ago. So, and he is a former Patriot coach.
It's not my job to do that.
Joe Judge, same. Josh McDaniels, same. Matt Patricia, same.
It's the Patriot way. It's the Patriot way, and this is what you want. This is what you're going to get. Congratulations. Congratulations, Houston.
Why are you congratulating us?
Congratulations. This is what we get. Now, way to go, Cal. Way to take control of this whole thing.
Did you like the Bronco way? Frankly, the Bronco way was better.
It was much better.
Bronco South is better than Patriot South so far.
Much better.
So far, Bronco South greater than Patriot South. Now, it was also Colorado State South. I don't know if you remember that also. Mm-hmm. There's a little, because Gary had a son who was there. It might be the son who's the OC in Minnesota now.
Yeah.
Clint. I think it was Clint.
It was Clint. So what? Guess what? Denver South was actually very attractive, a lot more attractive than this is. 812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
What's the phone number ringing? Do you hear this?
I do. I hear it. Well, maybe it's mine.
You have a ring on your thing?
How about that? It doesn't. How soft was that ring?
I don't know.
Yeah. I missed the call.
Okay, good.
Anyway, 713-780-3776. What about something? You need some insurance, Lance.
Well, TGS Insurance is the one who's got you covered. That's for homeowners insurance. This is not health. This is homeowners. Equally important, your home is, that's your big commodity. When you invest in a home, you hope to build equity, and that equity is going to be important for you. It's either something that a house that stays in your family, or, you know, you want it to grow in value and build your equity, and maybe you move and go from there somewhere else, but you want to make sure it's protected so that it maintains its value through hurricanes or tornadoes or hail or whatever the case may be. So you need A-rated insurance, but you don't have to stay with the same company to get it. This just in, there are several A-rated insurance companies, and TGS Insurance will help you shop for your A-rated insurance companies with just one text message. They'll shop multiple A-rated companies by texting the word money to 232323. Within 15 seconds, you are going to have a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. Compare it to what you're paying now and see what the savings are going to be. Odds are you're going to save. The question is going to be how much. The average savings is about $900 per person. But when you're saving that kind of money, putting it back in your pocket and getting A-rated insurance, that is a good thing. You have scored a victory for the day. Text the word money right now to 232323 and find out what TGS Insurance can do for you.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us right now, Brian Broaddus. Okay, he's the former NFL scout and host of G-Bag Nation on 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. Brian, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice to be on with you guys.
We appreciate you and how difficult your job must be after the other day and what happened. A comedy of errors. But Steven says that that Mike McCarthy is going to be the head coach there. What's the response of Mike McCarthy keeping his job after that the gaffe the other day in that game?
Yeah, that was, you know, I mean, it really, the one thing that I will say about Mike McCarthy, and again, I've worked in both these organizations, so I have a really good understanding of Mike McCarthy from Green Bay. I have a really good understanding of Mike McCarthy here in Dallas. So, you know, I kind of, that gives me a little bit better understanding of what he's trying to do there. You know, I will give him credit for, you know, winning the division. I'll give him credit for keeping the team healthy throughout the year. I think that was something that, you know, they didn't really take advantage of as well as they needed to in the playoffs and stuff. But, yeah, you know, I think there's a certain comfort level with Stephen Jones. And he's taken more of the day-to-day operations of the team, him and Will McClay. Will signed a contract extension just here recently. So, you know, I think there's a really good working relationship. You know, Stephen Jones tends to be one of those guys that tries to be a little bit more patient than, say, his father. And, you know, and with advancing age, we all, you know, are not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, and I think that's the thing. Jerry's disappointment was there, and it was evident after the game. I think Stephen is more of a, you know, let's evaluate where we're at and move forward. So, you know, that part of it for the front office, you know, they're comfortable with Mike McCarthy. But, you know, there's also the whispers you hear after games, you know, from staff members, from players and stuff like that, and thinking that Mike might be gone. And so, you know, the more you try and run those things down, and, you know, Stephen came on our station yesterday and shot those down. Now, that being said, you know, you never know what's really going on behind the scenes. I mean, I feel like that Dan Quinn's probably going to get the Denver job. But if you're interested in keeping Dan Quinn as your head coach, maybe that's the move you make. I think there's some other bigger fish out there that the Cowboys can look at. And if that's the case, then maybe they make a move. But right now, all indications are that Mike's going to be here, and because of the comfort factor with Steven and Will.
I tell you what, it's and you can speak to this better than anyone, Brian. Brian Broaddus joins us right now. And as I've said before, there's one guy I really respect from a Cowboy standpoint, an informational standpoint. Evaluations, it's Brian. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, we had a narrative that I think was a pretty good narrative about Jerry Jones, the itchy trigger finger, and kind of how the way he operated. But I'll never forget the seminal moment for me, maybe a tipping point, was the 2014 draft when Johnny Manziel's sitting there and they do a smart thing and draft Zach Martin instead, which let me know, okay, maybe Jerry's not running this whole thing. And since that time, they were unusually patient with Jason Garrett. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but that ran contrary to the narrative. I think that who the Cowboys are now actually is not the regular narrative we had for so many years. It is a more patient team, and they've kind of proven that over the past several years. Is that Stephen's influence?
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words as you started that. Yeah, and, you know, the thing with Stephen is he's become – when we have Steven on our program on a, you know, weekly basis, it used to be, well, Jerry wants to do this and Jerry wants to do that. That's how he framed things. And now it's more of Jerry and I. You know, you get that kind of a sense that, you know, and you mentioned the 2014 draft, and, you know, they were interested in, you know, the card was going in with Ryan Shazier's name on it. And, you know, that was going to be their guy. Then Pittsburgh jumps ahead of them, picks Shazier. And now they look at their board, and they've got Zach Martin above Johnny Manziel. Well, Jerry's looking at it thinking, well, you know, man, Johnny Manziel, that could be a good thing for us here, you know. And it really, you know, it's funny, they tell the story in the room about how everybody went quiet, and then Steven just spoke up and says, Jerry, we're taking Zach Martin. And, you know, and then he sat back down and kind of, you know, reminded Steven, it's like, listen, okay, well, you know, let's make sure we're doing this the right way. But yeah, Stephen Jones has had much more of an influence on what's going on with the team from the salary cap aspect. I mean, they're in a little bit of trouble, a little bit of a bind. This team that we've currently just witnessed will not be the same as it will be going into this next season. And they've got a lot of decisions they have to make. And, you know, a lot of that are some deals that Steven made along the way, the running back, the wide receiver with Amari Cooper. You know, you look at the situation with Dak Prescott. This is the first time that Dak's cap number, you know, is large, a franchise quarterback, you know. So there's a lot of things going on there, but it now really falls into the lap of more of Stephen Jones and more of Will McClay.
We got Brian Broaddus with us here on ESPN 97.5, host on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. What's wrong with this team, Brian? Why can't they get over? I mean, look at their playoff run now. It is awful. It's actually worse than the Texans since they've been in existence. What is the deal with this Cowboys team in the postseason?
How long is our show today? How much time we have today? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, no, you can. The playoff stuff is really, it's very, very interesting because this team in particular, you know, the matchup with San Francisco probably wasn't a great one for them, you know, and again, it. But where you felt like you had an advantage was at quarterback. You know, the way that the 49ers, you know, they're telling you they really don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo as he continues to win games. You know, they go out and they trade up for Trey Lance. They things throughout the season, you know, it was just kind of like, well, we really don't believe in this guy, but we'll find a way to win with him. And that's where we kind of all thought here in Dallas that, okay, you have an advantage with Dak Prescott. And, you know, Prescott just wasn't good enough in that game. You know, they missed some throws. Some guys weren't getting open. The offensive line, who we've vastly overrated in a lot of areas, you know, just really never came together, whether through injury, suspension, all that stuff. You know, this defense got better. Dan Quinn came in, and you know, he brought some assistance from Atlanta. My friends in Atlanta told me, they're like, listen, you're going to love DQ. You're going to love the guys he's bringing. They're going to teach. They're going to do a good job. He came in. He brought really some good players in. I mean, he immediately hit the road, started, you know, scouting, got some good college players, drafted Micah Parsons, and then, you know, and then brought some guys in from the dollar store at safety that actually played pretty well. So, you know, I mean, that was the part of it that the defense got continually better, and it was the offense that we were all talking about when we went to Oxnard that, hey, it's going to be, this offense could be, you know, great, it could be outstanding, you know, all these things you want to say about it, and for half a season it really was. And then things kind of started to fall apart for them. Teams played them differently. They couldn't identify how to function against a team that played with two deep safeties or a robber in the middle of the field. They just couldn't function, and you know, they couldn't even run the football. And so when you start to talk about playoff failures and things like that, you know, they were one-dimensional from the go, and you know, just because they couldn't run the ball. And then all of a sudden, Dak Prescott wasn't good enough. And then that's the problems you have it right now, is that, you know, this team, you know, is for as good as it was on paper and position by position, it really, really wasn't as good as it needed to be to go forward in the playoffs. And again, we're all talking about another failure and a lot of changes that have to be made.
Brian, you're a guy who's spent some time in scouting on the personnel side of the business. When you look at the Texans' job, knowing what you know, and of course you've got the Deshaun Watson situation, if and when it resolves, it could bring in a haul. How do you view this job with Nick Caserio already in place, Jack Easterby in the building? However you want to interpret it, what do you think about this job if you were to take a look at it from a head coaching standpoint?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting. I was in the league when Nick got, you know, his start and all that, and watched him come up through the ranks, you know, in New England. I don't know Nick personally. I know that there's people, I have a lot of people in the league that I know that respect him and what he potentially could do there. You know, I think that was really a terrible situation in a lot of ways down there and at Houston. And I don't mean it in terrible as like it's a terrible franchise or anything like that. I mean, I think that each franchise has its struggles that you have to go through, you know, and when you have change, it just doesn't, you know, you're trying to get everybody on the same page. That can be very difficult. I know when I went from Green Bay to Philadelphia, and then, you know, and I was given the opportunity to run the draft in 98, you know, 4 of the 8 scouts quit on me. They just didn't want to work with me and stuff like that. So, you know, I understand how hard it is to kind of get people going in the right direction. You know, as a coach, you know, you have to, there's only 32 of these jobs. And, you know, with the David Culley situation and all that, you know, I kind of, it's one of those things, if I was a coach, I'm like, okay, what are we really, really doing there? What's the plan? What's our, you know, how are we going to operate here? And, you know, there just seems like to be a lot of voices that are trying to kind of get heard there. And if I was a coach, you know, I would be really kind of worried about that. I think I would go in there with the attitude of, hey, listen, you're not interviewing me. I'm going to interview you. And if, you know, if you don't answer the questions that I have, well, then I don't see myself taking your job. And, but again, the personnel side of it, you know, the things with, you know, not having the picks, the quarterback situation, you know, there's a lot of things that are really just so up in the air right now. And I just kind of feel like that, you know, people are going to look at that and say, well, man, it could be a great opportunity because it's one of the 32. But I could also say, okay, where's the leadership? I mean, the last thing these coaches want, and I've talked to several that are on the circuit now that are making, you know, they're looking for their second head coaching job. They don't want an unstable front office. That's the last thing. They're like, listen, I am not going to go work with people that don't know what the hell they're doing. And, you know, but again, it's not saying that the people in Houston don't know what they're doing, but man, I would sure ask a bunch of questions if I was going in there taking that interview.
Outside looking in, Brian brought us with us here on ESPN 97.5. We're so close to the situation. Outside looking in, the Deshaun Watson situation, what would you give up if you're in an NFL front office and you need a quarterback?
Well, that's one of the ones that, you know, I mean, that is, you know, if you're Nick, you're not just giving him up. I admire him for hanging in there and saying, no, I'm not going to take less than value. Now, again, these teams have got to figure out with, you know, with the situation within the courts, how that's all going to play out. But to, you know, to say that you're going to, you know, try and get them to give that quarterback up and just say, oh, we're going to flip you a 2, a 3, and a 5 and call it a day, that ain't going to work. I think you have to make a legitimate. Now, if you get the information, if you get your security people in there and kind of figure out what the situation is, man, this guy, I mean, you start to talk about the quarterbacks that are going to get traded for potentially, and, you know, we'll see what happens with Russell Wilson and those guys, and maybe even Rodgers, and, you know, we'll just see. But I think you're in a situation right now where you have to kind of, you know, if you're Houston, you hold tight for the best offer, and, you know, whatever that is. I mean, if it's multiple ones, it's, you know, I mean, I think that's legitimate. I don't think that they have to sell this guy short at all. I really don't.
Now, that is saying, okay, we know he's not going to have criminal charges, but we do know he's probably going to get suspended, too. That takes a little bit off the top, right?
Sure.
I guess, but you know what? You've got him long-term. Now, you also have to pay him $35 a year, you know, because that's his contract.
And he may want to, I'm hearing he may want another contract to help put some more money back in his pocket after these, after all the expenses he's going to incur. And a team might actually want to do it anyway just to lock him into a longer-term deal, so... But yeah, Brian, you've been around the business. The people who act like there's no, just get rid of him. Just get him out of the building.
Yeah,
you don't know if he's going to have any value. Those people have no idea about precedent in or they're just not looking at the history and precedent of the league.
Well, and you're exactly right. And see, that's the thing about it is, you know, if you're one of those general managers and, listen, you don't have a quarterback, you know, you basically got one foot in the parking lot if that's the case. You know, I mean, if I have to sacrifice multiple ones to get a quarterback and it doesn't work out and they fire me, that's somebody else's problem. That's not my problem anymore. You know,
yeah.
I tried my best to go get a quarterback. I mean, I know David Caldwell down there in Jacksonville, you know, he got fired and he tried like hell to move up in the draft to get Herbert, you know, before the Chargers did. He knew it. He knew he had to go get a quarterback, you know, and he couldn't get there. And so as a general manager, you'll do anything in your power to get that quarterback. And Watson is outstanding. When you watch him play, you know, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, it's just unfortunate the way that things have unfolded there with the Texans. But, you know, I mean, that's what it is right now. But they don't have to sell short there. And, you know, if you're a team that's desperate for a quarterback, and there's several of them that are, then you pay the price for that. And, you know, I think that, you know, the Texans have every right to demand what they need to demand.
That's Brian Broaddus with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have fun talking about them Cowboys for another about 8-10 months and another playoff performance like the other day. Man, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us, Brian.
Yeah, I look forward to talking about you guys picking up near the top of the boards finally. Nice to have you guys back in the draft.
Don't worry. We finally have a draft pick.
Don't worry. Yeah, we finally get to do that. Guess what? We'll probably do it again next year.
Yep.
Yeah, draft talk. Hey, draft talk, coaching talk. You guys got the whole gambit down there. You guys don't have to plan your show. You just show up and talk about it. Hey, right?
Finally people want to talk about the Texans.
Yeah, the last couple of years we've had no draft talk, so it's not so bad now.
There you go.
What's a draft?
Welcome back to the party. I know you got Lance there. You'll do just fine.
Thanks, Brian.
We appreciate it, man. That's Brian brought us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm excited to tell you about a new client and somebody that's not new to my family. The Great Plate Hospitality Group, Paul, who owns it, is an awesome guy. Great guy. See him at all the sporting events. He's a former football player. He owns Jack's Grill and Union Kitchen. Chances are you've been to him. If you've never been to him, I want to tell you, I'm going to start with Jack's Grill today and tell you about it. It's a Houston original since 1993. Very family-friendly restaurant. That's where Snacks' favorite wings are. When he wants wings, and that's maybe one of his favorites along with steak, when he wants wings, he wants to go to Jack's Grill. They've got two locations, one in Houston and the one in Katy. The burgers are real burgers, 100% beef, never frozen. They're half pound of meat. Wood-burning mesquite grill gives it that perfect, delicious, smoky flavor. But other than that, their queso, their quesadillas, their wings, these are just some of the favorite comfort food dishes that we enjoy with my family. There's plenty of televisions. You can go in there, have dinner, and yet catch your games if you're trying to do that. And, of course, they have famous Jack's Ritas, which are something that you have to have if you're a family. You got to knock down the margaritas. Staff members who have been working there for 25-plus years, it's a great place to go and enjoy quality food. It's a quality business, quality customer base. Check out any of their three locations today and find out why Jack's Grill is one of the best in Houston at giving you the comfort food that you love. JacksGrillHouston.com. That's JaxGrillHouston.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So we've actually heard more than a few faux pas on the Manning cast. People just, I think, feel really comfortable and relaxed. Even Peyton last night felt a little relaxed. Well, I think he was a little PO'd because
their numbers have come down a little bit, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah,
no.
I think people just kind of forgot it. When they took their time off, their sabbatical, it ended up hurting the ratings because people kind of forgot about it
again. Last night was the final one.
That was the last one.
For the season, yeah.
I think that's probably the last ABC game.
Well, that's the last ESPN game.
ESPN game, yeah.
That's the last ESPN
game. It was on ABC, though. 13. You don't see that much anymore.
No, sometimes, but...
I watched it on ABC. I'm like, I don't see games on 13 very often.
Yeah, because you got The Bachelor, which makes them more money.
Do they show anything other than Bachelor? Is it all Bachelors?
It's pretty much Bachelor. That's the only show they have.
Bachelorette, Bachelor, Bachelor's Friend.
It's the only show they have anymore.
To Love and to Die. Just people hooking up.
Rich Bachelor, Poor Bachelor.
People hooking up. Temptation Island. Islands of Temptation.
Yes.
Sins and Sinners.
Right.
You know, just people who slam, people who hook up.
What does Maddie think of
these
shows?
Then people who are upset. I don't let her watch any of them. She watches, she's watching Fuller House. And she just started watching Full House the other day.
She did.
The original. Not Full House. What's the one with little Fred Savage? With Topanga?
Boy Meets World. That was
Boy
Fred
Meets
Savage.
World. Yeah. So there's a Boy Meets World and there's another Girl Meets World or whatever.
Fred Savage The Wonder Years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't.
Not Fred Savage. Who is that kid? Whatever. Whoever was with Topanga. But you're right. It's the
Ben Savage.
Who?
Ben Savage.
It's one of the Savages.
Yeah, he's a Savage.
He's one of the kids. Kid's a Savage.
He's a Yankee.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a Savage in a box.
Welcome to The Bench with John Granato and Greg Zierlein.
Yeah.
Right.
Same
thing.
Similar.
I was asked the other day, is there any relation? No.
I know. I get added all the time on that. Lance Erlinger didn't kick worth the crap this year. I'm like, dude, I've got a leg issue.
Okay. You got your own doctor. Serious. You got a doctor who you're Dr. his Lateef. Only client.
He's got plenty of clients, but I am.
He doesn't need
any
more.
He is my personal doctor. I need to have him on retainer.
Right.
Like a lawyer.
Well, Peyton Manning was a savage last night. Here he is.
Before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear. Never mind. Peyton's doing something else.
Can't hear ship, he said. And Eli, never mind. Eli, did you see him last night?
With his death row.
Death row.
Snoop gave him a death row necklace. And he's got a sweater on with a death row. I'm telling you right now, I feel like this is what makes the joke so good. I don't know if it's a joke, but I think Eli's in on it because he's got a great sense of humor. He knows that you don't try to overdo it. You play to be milquetoast Eli. That's what makes the comedy so good.
Yeah.
When he's got his sweater on and he's got a button-down collared shirt and a sweater over it with a death row gold chain hanging, it's just absolutely gold. Like, he understands the comedy of it all. The Mannings have a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Eli's got a really good sense of humor. He's not a Hall of Famer. Not in real life. He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be, but...
He will be.
He's good at he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny. He's got a good sense of humor. Not really a... Were any of his 16 games Hall of Fame worthy ever? No. As a matter of fact, go look at his record. The old Hall of Famer with a 500 record.
Well.
It's yucky.
Back in the day, that was.
It's yucky.
That's how it was, though, back in the day.
He ain't back in the day. Eli's in the 2000s.
Yeah.
He ain't back in the day. Go look at Eli's record and go look at his touchdowns interception and go find me the Hall of Famer. You can't find it. It's not even remotely close. Like, if his name was Lance Berkman, they wouldn't even think twice about it. Nope, get him off.
That's terrible. 47 years ago today, the Jeffersons premiered on CBS.
Okay.
You remember that? You remember the first episode?
I don't remember. No, I was too young to understand the first episode, but I watched Jeffersons. Okay. Wait. Jeffersons? Oh, was I already watching reruns? The Jeffersons premiered then?
Premiered 47 years ago.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I thought the Jeffersons went from Archie Bunker over years later.
Pick your poison this morning. Brian T. Smith in the Chronicle. Pick your poison. Would you rather have Cal McNair or Jerry Jones?
Oh, my God. Jerry.
Pick your poison.
I just said it.
Which one?
Jerry.
You didn't say anything.
I did say Jerry.
You say Cal Jones.
Jerry.
You'd rather have Jerry?
Yes.
I don't know. Why?
Just because he'll try. He's not dumb. He'll make effort. I don't know.
So controlling that he's choked the organization for 20.
Brian Broaddus just told us that he didn't even make the pick in 14.
It's 28 years now since they won.
I get it, but at least they're prominent still. No one even, like, you never have a doubt that the owner really wants it bad. You never have a doubt. You know who's like Jerry to me is actually Tillman. I think Tillman has some Jerry qualities where you know he's going to be in the mix, not to the point of making personnel decisions, but he's got some of that same where you know, like, it's going to be kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, but you know he really wants to win, but he may overstep it. He may be in the news a little too much. He's probably not always easy to deal with.
You're describing Crane, too.
I'd rather have that.
But guess what? Crane's winning.
Yeah, I'd rather have that. Jerry's teams have shots. He's got his flaws. I could tell you some positives to Jerry Jones. I can't tell you any for Cal.
That's true. Well, the one is he ain't going to make any decisions. You know what? He ain't going to screw up the roster.
Yeah, but I needed him to make a decision of not to just trust Jack Easter be blindly.
Right.
And not to fire Brian Gain in a year and all that stuff.
Yes, yes.
I'd rather, because that would never happen under Bob McNair.
It would never happen under Jerry. Well, it would never happen under
the
most
Cowboys
owners.
Have been a dumpster fire, not one.
Yeah, but they are
but
certainly,
you know,
more relevant.
Jerry's going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, they're much more relevant. They're not. They've spent money stupidly. They don't. You know, the Amari Cooper contract, the Dak contract. You get the Dak thing though, because he's a quarterback. The Ezekiel Elliott deal, like they've got themselves in some. They got themselves in some trouble, but they drafted CeeDee Lamb. That will be okay. Michael Gallup's fine. Schultz has turned into a pass catching tight end. Like Pollard was a good pickup. Dallas will be okay. I would much rather be on the Dallas end of things right now than the Texans end of things.
Well,
I don't have hope with the Texans, really. Not with Cal. Not when I look at, well, with Cal, we always have a chance he's going to make a smart hire. I don't ever say that. I mean, I don't really say it with Jerry. I probably wouldn't say that with Jerry either.
Well, would you rather have Mike McCarthy next year or the coach that the Texans will have next year?
Oh, I don't. I mean, that's a coin flip to me.
Yeah. No,
I don't know how to answer that. I honestly, like, Mike McCarthy's one of these retread head coaches who doesn't always make good decisions. I don't know that Mike McCarthy's the guy.
No, I don't
know. Now,
either.
If you ask me, Mike McCarthy or David Culley, Mike McCarthy.
Yes, 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 yes.
I think I might take B instead of Mike McCarthy now, whoever the Texans take, only because I'm working off of, I already know, at least I have hope with the Texans. I already know what I get with McCarthy.
Yeah.
It ain't good enough.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776.
He does have a Super Bowl win.
You have any thoughts on anything?
Do you have a Super Bowl win?
No, I have zero. I have zero Super Bowl wins.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, Jerry has Super Bowl wins. Do you have any Super Bowl wins?
Yeah, 28 years ago. Congratulations,
remember,
Jerry.
That's back when Akeem Olajuwon
since then
was
well done.
Playing.
Way to fire.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
Jimmy Johnson. That's worked out for you great ever since. 846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, time for me to talk about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. That's my man, Keith Tate, over there, and he's been doing it for more than 28 years. I don't know how long Keith Tate's been doing it, but I can tell you this. Keith Tate is the best in the business at it. Keith Tate has the best product ever in his hoop sporting goal. Keith Tate, I'm telling you, it's not even close. Go to a box store and buy a goal, and then you got to put sand in the base, and then you got to staple it to your garage. Good luck. Because, you're going to install it. Do you have any idea? How about the installation is second to none with hoops? They're the best. It's unbelievable how good they are. And if you're looking for the best product, the best installation, the best value, because if the kids can't use it, if you've got a goal that the kids just aren't going to use, the value is there's no value in that. How about a goal that will lower and raise? How about a goal that won't rust? How about a goal with tempered glass backboard? How about the best goal ever? And it's all at one place. ProDunkHoops.com. You're looking for a goal for the kids? ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
850 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you know what song this comes from? What TV show? One of the funniest shows. It has an Oscar winner who stars in it.
Let me hear it.
Comedy show with a dramatic actress. She's plays a comedy role here. She has won Oscars, at least one, may win another one this year. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time.
What?
A series. Peep Show.
Oh,
Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Is Mark's guy named Mark. It's kind of like an Odd Couple type of thing. And you should definitely watch it. It is fantastic. You know, it's Ricky Gervais and Larry David have both said they believe it might be one of the greatest comedies ever. It's that good. You have to watch. Some of it is going to be like the humor will relate to something British that you won't get, like a Parliament member or something. But most of it you'll definitely get. And Olivia Colman, who's become this great, she was in The Queen, right?
She was The Queen, yeah.
Yeah, she was in The Queen, but I can't remember what she won the Oscar for. Was it last year, year before? But then she's in this show now called The Gardeners on HBO Max, where her and her husband, who's a character actor who was also on Fargo, David something. I only got like two or three episodes in. I'm on like too many shows where I'm two or three episodes in on about four shows now. So it's total ADD for me. It's a struggle. But definitely if you get a chance to see Peep Show, I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I think it's on Hulu now. But definitely worth your time. And it's easy. You know, the comedies that just like Schitt's Creek, when they last 31 minutes or whatever the shows they were made for TV.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, like it's that. Easy to just go, you knock down four in a day and not even think twice about it.
Yeah, without commercials, that's the best.
We like a lot of commercials.
Commercials are
commercials
the best.
Rule.
Yes, commercials are the only thing
I wish
thing
those
worth
shows had more commercials.
For.
I wish some of these shows I'm watching on Netflix had commercials.
Yes.
It would be better.
So, story out today, Rockets won a first for Eric Gordon. What? Why are you laughing at that?
No, I thought that actually Eric Gordon might bring
him
late first, actually.
Yeah.
Who don't care about first-round picks. Like, ooh, gross. Get rid of this first.
Well, hey, you're only... why would you trade for Eric Gordon unless you're a good team, first of all? Right?
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to get Eric Gordon if you're a bottom feeder. And, you know, a late first rounder for Eric Gordon, you get out of his Tillman Saves money.
I can't cut it the gardeners. It's the landscapers is the show I was talking about. Yeah, if you're Tillman, you love it. Oh, and look, if you're a team who gets out of the first round pick, if it's a late round pick, if it's a good team, I think it's possible Rafael Stone could get that. My guess is you'll have to flip them a second, probably.
Yeah, whatever.
Give them one of your seconds. You take their first.
Right.
You're now on the hook for a first round contract, but what? That's a problem?
No. I'll take a first round contract over 18 the rest of this season and then 19-5 next season. You know, that was another Daryl Morey special with a guy that has been untradeable, another contract that has been untradeable thanks to Daryl Morey and the situation that he left this organization in. And, you know, I don't know, man. The moves that have been made in these, in this city with, hey, listen, with Carlos Correa, there's a lot of, and I can't blame it. And you look at it, okay, so you got the number one overall player that basically is one of the leaders of your team that is one of the most attractive free agents, and you're just letting him walk. You're just letting the guy. You're not giving a second contract to a guy who has been vital to a winning organization. That doesn't make sense in a lot of organizations. That just doesn't make any sense. I mean, unless you are the A's or the Royals, you know, an organization that just lets their great players walk. But this guy has brought you a championship. It doesn't make any sense to a lot of people. What are you doing? How are you letting a Carlos Correa away? You're 1-1. That has actually played up to it. That's the number one free agent out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're on the same page here. That's the fan perspective. So I try to take a look at the fan, you know, my emotional side and then my team building side. My team building side says, no, we can never go to, we have enough data, and it's actually building data. Like, it's not complete because you have to take into account Bryce Harper, the good. Obviously, Pujols, the bad, the potential for Stanton to be bad. You know, like, you're still, the data is still coming in, but you understand that primarily long-term contracts over a certain threshold of money, over a certain time frame, at a certain age for a player. Now, Carlos is younger than like Pujols when he took on his, but so is Bryce Harper, was younger too. So the team building side says, okay, if we do this, what happens? Okay, we extend our run. We have to be concerned about Carlos's health. It could set a precedent for us in the next 2 to 3 years that could make it tougher for us to, tougher for us to get some deals done. These are all things that have to be, obviously, that have to be considered. The fan side says, what's the problem? It's just money. You make money. You're going to be fine. Keep this thing rolling. Keep this thing rolling. You kidding me? Three World Series since 2007, World Series appearances since 2017. Young pitching staff that don't cost you an arm and a leg, and you're losing the money from Greinke and JV costs less now, and you just brought Verlander back. Let's keep this thing rolling. Yeah. So I get the emotional fan side of it,
But if Carlos were just like, if Carlos would just be a little bit more, I want to roll with the team, and it's not about the number I get, it's about average per year, then Carlos might be, if Carlos would give in a little bit on the ego front, and I'm not downing him. I'm just saying, in his battle to be considered in the same with his peers, like Tatis and Lindor.
It's more than that, though. It's more than that.
It is.
Give me money. I want my. I've only. This is my prime earning years. I'm getting as much as I can, and I can't blame him for it.
No. But you and I both know $250 and $300 million. There's not a lot of difference, especially when you're in Houston versus New York, Houston versus L.A. There's probably no difference to maybe you make money in Houston on a deal like that, and that's if Houston was willing to get to 250. But if Houston got to 250, that should be enough for Carlos to want to say, I am getting great money. It's over $30 million a year. You know, I'm making the case.
They've never come up with $250 million, though.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But if you came with $250, to me, that is a legitimate, Carlos, we really want you, while still hanging on by a thread to your fiscal responsibility ideology. And it's a win-win across the board.
Yeah. Well, the owner has said multiple times, hey, it's hard to make $200 million. Guess what? It's really, really hard. And yet people are doing it. Yep. Oh, no. Absolutely.
People at his position are doing it.
But it's not like he hasn't spent the money. He was the fourth highest payroll last year. So it's not like he's been cheap. But he's got a plan for the long term. And I'm telling you this, you guys, for those of you that weren't listening yesterday, Jeremy Pena is the future. And you know what? He may be the present. Jeremy Pena is going to be your shortstop this year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty positive that's going to happen.
I would rather have
every,
a young guy.
Every indication says Jeremy Pena is ready defensively, and you're going to lose, obviously, because you don't have Carlos, the best shortstop, maybe the best shortstop we've ever seen in Houston, that's for sure, but the best in the league, and it's not going to be a big drop-off defensively. It's whether or not Jeremy, and, oh, by the way, the money, that the difference in the money is going to be huge. We'll see if he offensively he can produce anywhere near to Carlos Correa, and then it's a win.
Listen, 145 at-bats, 10 home runs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. 6 stolen bases, for what it's worth. OPS a 942. Pretty good. He only has 3 years in the minors. He has 2018, he played 36 games. 2019, Jeremy played 109 games. Obviously, there was no 2020. 2019, he had 7 home runs in 109 games. In 37 games, he had 10 home runs last year. What it tells me is that this is a guy, he's 6'202" now. My guess is in 2019, how old is Jeremy Pena? He's 24 now. So he was probably about 22. My guess is that he's grown into his body type a little bit more. 10 homers in 37 games is damn good. I mean, that's damn good. When he had 7 home runs in 109 games and 1 home run in 36 games. Look at the jump that he's had. Physically, you know that a camera can see you.
Sorry.
You know you're on Twitch.
Oh, I forgot. 9 o'clock.
I think he also is growing into his body type. I mean, he was 19 years old back then, or 18, or 20 years old. You know, he's probably hitting weights and getting bigger and also growing into his frame. Carlos got bigger and grew into his weight. You're not doing little funny little motions with Carlos.
I didn't do any motions. I don't know what you're talking about.
You go
901.
No, he's scratching his lower back.
ESPN 97. Yep. Stretching my back. Time to take a quick one here. 713-780-3776. When we come back, 9 o'clock here on ESPN. Adam Kaplan is going to join us here on the show. Adam Kaplan next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.